It's a WIP Afternoon Show, Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Every Thursday, we are joined by Mike Lombardi of the Daily Coach, of the GM Shuffle podcast, of the VSiN Morning Show. Mike, how are we feeling?
We're good. How about you? Are we excited? It's all good. Life is good. Week three of football. It's all good. We got a long way to go, so it's even better.
Yeah.
Well, we're not all excited.
Yeah, that's not here this week.
God, here they go. Well, that's what you're in the business. We're going to panic. I mean, yeah, of course. Absolutely. Yes. Why not? This is what we do. Okay. Here we go.
Okay. So first question, just general top level question. Based on the personnel they have, the coaches, and what you have seen so far after these first two games, could you foresee a scenario where the Eagles at the end of the year are contenders to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl?
No, not the way they're set up defensively. And I think Jalen Hurts hasn't really played to the level he needs to play to that we've seen him play in 2022 when they were so dominant. I mean, he's had the most protection of any quarterback in the league, and yet he's only averaged 7.2 yards per attempt. That's not good enough. He holds the ball, and he's running out of the pocket when perhaps he doesn't have to run. He's just getting out, and I don't understand it. And look, the one thing that's scary, here's the scariest part. They've held the ball for 34 minutes and 13 seconds in two games. They've only played 25 minutes and 47 seconds of defense. Now, I believe this. You want to play good defense, play less defense. So they've played less defense. The problem is, in two games, they've given up 800 yards. Now, that's a problem. 800 yards, play 25 minutes and 47 seconds of defense in each game. That's a real issue. Yeah. That's a real issue. So, to me, you're not winning. You're not beating anybody. And then the other scary part is they've held quarterbacks to 57% completion percentage. So it isn't like they're getting, but they can't stop the run. They're not physical enough up front. I mean, when you're giving up 6.4 yards a carry, I mean, that's a killer. And then you're giving up 13.5 per reception. The Eagles are only getting 10 yards of reception. So they got to fix those two areas. And I think you've got to ask yourself the question, do they have the personnel? Now, that gets into their edges, right?
Yep.
They're too small on the edge. Nolan Smith's an old-time Sam linebacker. He's not really a defense. He gets too small. He gets eaten up. Bryce Huff, he was getting eaten up in that game. So you're going to have some force. 2 years ago, when they led the National Football League at 70 sacks, 60 of them came from their defensive line. Mm-hmm. So far this year, they have one sack from a defensive lineman.
Yeah, when you're in a position, say, of Howie putting the roster together personnel-wise, and it's only week three of the season, how difficult is it for him in his position? Do you add to the roster? Do you sit and wait it out and see if these guys eventually reach their potential? Like, how do you improve where they are right now?
Well, I think you got to improve the fundamentals, techniques, and I think you got to improve their conditioning, too. Like, I'm not sure they're in great shape. I didn't think in the fourth quarter they had any gas left in the tank. You know, you got a 6-point lead. They shouldn't have had 50 seconds. See, here's the biggest misconception in all this analytical crap. And Spike, I don't mean any disrespect to the analytical community here, because I do think there's a place for analytics in sports.
Just real quick, Mike, I'm not that smart, so I'm okay. Not one of the analytics guys.
when I hear process, I hear analytics. It sends me over the edge.
Right.
But
okay.
Get back to that later. Okay.
Fair enough.
So here's the reality. Aristotle, the great football philosopher from Greece, he said you can't measure anything that isn't consistent. And what he meant by that was, if I drop this pen on my desk, 20 years from now the pen's going to hit my desk. But if I don't understand the dynamics of everything that's going on, analytics may not apply. Okay, so here's the situation. I believe there's applied analytics. I'm Nick Sirianni. I'm watching this game. I know my defense hasn't been on the field very much, but I know they're getting gashed. They're getting gashed. And I know one thing. The last thing I would want to do if I were Nick Sirianni on that sideline is give the Atlanta Falcons five more plays. I don't want to give them five more plays. You say, well, how do you give them five more plays? Well, when you tried to throw the ball on third down, you basically gave them 40 seconds. That's five more plays. Mm-hmm. See, no one equates the amount of time on the clock with how many plays are left in the game. We just say, oh, there's a minute 30 to go in the game. No, how many plays are left in the game? That's what I'm defending, is how many plays. And I'm watching my defense get gashed because they're tired. We can't get any pressure on the quarterback. I'm going to make sure I take those five plays away from them. So now I can reduce the game to a 50-second game. Now there's seven plays left in the game. Fellas, we go out there and play seven plays. We keep them in bounds. That may go down to five plays. But that's the mistake. It's applied analytics. It isn't just one for all and all for one. That's the issue. And, of course, you've got some idiots out there that think that he should have gone for it on fourth down, because they'll tell you this. This is how brilliant it is. They'll tell you six is a dead score in football. You know, basketball has a zillion possessions. So I get the concept shooting threes over a volume of time is better than making twos. But football, we only have 11, 12 possessions per game. You turn down points in one of those possessions, you're not getting another chance all the time. So the three he doesn't take early in the game, and then by not running it, it costs him the game.
Well, let me ask you this, though, on the go for fourth down, because I actually do disagree there. So here's two. Let me give you the other side of it. The other side of it is two things. One, you go for it on fourth down. Let's say you don't get it, right? You've taken more time off the clock, of course, by running it. It's not 40 full seconds, but it's the time, whatever the time the play is.
Wait a second. Time out, Spike, before you ask me. Are you running it on third down? Because if you're going for it on fourth down, you got to run it on third down. They don't have any timeouts.
Well, they don't have any timeouts, but even let's say they threw it on fourth.
You can't separate the two, Spike.
Well,
you
I am. Here, no. Here's what I'm saying.
The third down play has to rhyme with the fourth down play if you're going to do this.
Here's what I'm saying. We call the third down pass. Saquon drops it. I'm going for it on fourth down anyway. Because what I'm doing is I'm putting Atlanta at their 3-yard line rather than their 30-yard line. And instead of them playing to score 7, they're playing to score 3. So the worst case scenario, most likely, is that they are tying the score and we're getting overtime, as opposed to them driving 70 yards to score 7. They will drive 70 yards to score 3, worst case scenario. So that's why I'm going for it on fourth down, even if I throw an incompletion on third.
It makes no sense to me at all, because here's the reality. We just watched the league kick 21 50-yard field goals. I'm trying to win the game. If I can win the game by taking 50 seconds off the clock, rushing the passer, and making them go the entire length of the field, what guarantee do you have that they're going to play for the field goal? Like, this whole methodology, I don't understand it.
Well, but if we're trying to win the game, then we're throwing in on third down.
No, if you're trying to win the game, you take away 5 plays. You take away 5 plays. You reduce the amount of plays you have to defend. That's trying to win the game. That doesn't fail. But to throw it on third down and stop the clock, you just gave them another timeout, and you gave them 5 more plays.
Right, but
that's called losing the game.
Okay. Okay. I disagree. I don't want to talk in circles on it. I disagree. Now, I agreed with the play was right there. If Saquon Barkley catches the ball like he would 99 out of 100 times, we're talking about...
He dropped a lot of balls in his career. I think he leads the league in drop passes as a receiver.
Yeah, it's like 6 a year on 50 or 60 catches. So
he still drops them. I mean, so somebody's got to pay a price for those 6 drops somewhere.
All right. Yeah, I mean, they're not all in crucial situations. They're also not wide open, and they're also not in that situation. I mean, five drops over 17 games is...
But you don't see a pattern here. You don't see a pattern here that happened in Dallas. You don't see a pattern that happened at the Chargers. This is exactly why Kellen Moore is not the offense coordinator in Dallas. This is exactly why. This is exactly why. Because the object is to win the game. It isn't to make the analytical community happy by going for it. That's what cost him his job in Dallas. That's why Mike McCarthy came in a jury and said, look, great, smart guy. I got to manage the game different. If you want him to call plays, you let him be the head coach. So then he goes out to the Chargers. Same thing. How many games did they lose in Los Angeles that were close games? See, it's really good to say go for it. And then when you lose, we'll complain about something else. But we never complained about not going for the field goal in the first quarter. Everybody was happy with that. Have you ever seen a stat on the worldwide leader where it says don't go for it on fourth down? Have you ever seen it say no, don't go for it? I mean, that's automatic.
So you would have gone for it in the first half or not?
No, I wouldn't have. I would have taken the points, because the last time I checked, Ike, the game was who has the most points wins.
And
if I can get 3 in a game that I know the team that I'm playing got beat by 6 field goals the week before, I'm going to collect some points.
Yeah, well, but Green Bay did that the week before, ended up with 6 points on the first 2 possessions, and if they had 7 points on one of those possessions, they would have won the game. So, and by the way, you're putting your opponent in a worse position earlier in the game, and you're having them play catch up rather than being in scoring position twice and being up 1 score. You can be in scoring position twice and be up 2 scores.
Logic when you have a zillion possessions. You don't have that many possessions in football. Look, and I'm sure that somebody can run numbers to support this, though you can't see the numbers. It's like Pro Football Focus. Somebody grades the players. We don't know who it is. They're hiding behind some giant screen. It's probably some guy in his basement in Des Moines who eats meatloaf every day for lunch.
What's wrong with meatloaf?
We have no idea who he is.
It's Sam Hinkie.
We have no idea who he is. But then we say, well, Pro Football Focus says he's the top guard in football. Well, who is Pro Football Focus? Who are they? What's that guy's expertise? How many linemen did he evaluate in his career? How many times is he right? How many times is he wrong? We don't know that. We just cite it as if it means something.
Mm. Just for the record, I don't really like Pro Football Focus. I'm
Nobody
just saying.
Nobody does. Everybody in the league thinks it's a joke, except for when you're on television and they can't wait to quote it. J.J. Watt went nuts on it the last McAfee show. It doesn't make any sense. We don't even know who's grading it. We have no idea. But, of course, naturally, we're going to say, well, Pro Football Focus says this guy's the top third running back. It's a comedy. It's just a way to prove something that's not logical, just like that stat that comes up there and says go for it. Like, you tell me how many times teams lose when they're up by six with 45 seconds left to go and the opposing quarterback can't move out of the pocket.
McAfee doesn't even wear sleeves. I don't want to hear that guy's name.
Okay. You said it on the show. What do you want me to say?
I'm just kidding, man. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. Before, Ike, do you have anything else on?
He's pretty much touched on everything.
Okay, so I have one non-specific game question for you. Is we've heard both in the offseason, we heard some rumblings about the Eagles' potential interest in Bill Belichick, and Jeff Lurie having a good relationship with Bill Belichick. And over the last few weeks, we've heard Bill Belichick mention the Eagles in a positive way. Do you think there is any chance the Eagles would hire Bill Belichick? And the second part of that question, do you think there's any chance Bill Belichick would come to the Eagles if Howie Roseman was still the general manager?
I don't know the answer to that. I really don't. I mean, I don't really have an answer. I work with Bill every week. We talk about a lot of things. None of it is about what's his next job. We talk about what we're going to talk about on the air. To me, I think it's all hypothetical. I think to me it's got to be a match for both parties, right? You know, I mean, I think Bill's got a specific way of how he believes the team has to go. For example, when he and I went over that situation that happened in Philly, whether it be the first quarter or the fourth quarter, he and I were in complete agreement. He would have taken the points. He would have run the ball on third down. We were in complete agreement on that. Now, if the Eagles want to be analytical and go for it, maybe that would be a rub. I don't know. Mm. The Eagles are very analytical, but Bill is not – to call him old school is unfair. When you have six Super Bowls on your mantle, you're not old school. You're a really smart coach. But to me, I think those are things that I can't answer to because I don't know who has flexibility, and there's no job open to talk about it. Look, to me, I think if I'm Nick Sirianni, I think one of the things you got to do is use applied analytics. It's like, I'm watching the game. We can't stop anybody.
Mm. Well, so just, I guess, to dig a little deeper, I know that you're in an odd position here because you know the guy, you work with the guy. I'm not asking you to speak for him. But in that sort of situation, he's going to go somewhere where he's going to run the football team the way that he wants to run the football team. Is that a fair thing to say?
Oh, I don't think – he can't be Bill Belichick unless he runs the team the way he has to run the team. I mean, look, every organization needs an expert, right? Every organization needs somebody who is in charge and sees the vision of the team and plans out the course. Now, I don't know, you know, obviously Howie's done a very good job of doing that in Philadelphia. They've won a Super Bowl. They've been to another one. So obviously that works. So I don't know. But I mean, to me, for me in my background, what I've been accustomed to is if the head coach doesn't control the vision of the team, it makes it very challenging on the head coach.
Do you think the Eagles have made a mistake in their last two head coaching hires in that it seems like the head coach is not running the team in that aspect? It seems more like the general manager is.
Well, they've been very successful. I mean, right. Look, I was on record. I didn't think Doug was a good hire. And, you know, they won a Super Bowl, but then they fired him 2 years later. I think, to me, they've done a very good job of supporting the head coach. I think there's one of the things. I think when they hire a coach, they kind of know who he is, and then they give him some help and try to help him become a head coach. I don't think not very many people are born to become head coaches. And I think there's a lot of things that I'm sure Nick's improved on in his time.
All right. Mike Lombardi, we appreciate you, man. You always bring it. You always bring it.
Fire!
Well, Wait till we get to basketball season. We watch your team. We can't wait for that.
The only reason you agreed to do this call is for basketball season. Just be
reason.
Honest.
It's the only. I can't wait to when he's got his hands on his knees and he's out of breath after the first quarter.
You
wow.
know,
I'll let
Mike,
you go, fellas.
I wait. No. Well, okay, we'll save it for next time. All right, Mike. There he is. All right, hold on. So if you need to replace your windows, which you probably do, you should do it right. I'm exhausted from Mike Lombardi yelling at me. I'm trying to make one little Pat McAfee joke. I have no problem with Pat McAfee not wearing sleeves. I dress like a 18-year-old roadie. It's fine. Well. Anyway, call Guida Door and Window. Go Guida. Do it before the winter comes. And all that cold air is out there trying to get through your old drafty windows. They're doing all they can by making it more affordable for you. Right now, the buy one, get one half off sale. It is very simple to understand. You buy one door, you get the next door half off. You buy one window, you get the next window half off. You can mix and match. Buy two windows, get the next two doors half off. That's how it works. The more that you buy, the more that you save. If you buy 100 windows and doors, half of them will be 50% off. It's a great deal. And you know price is not the only way they can make it affordable. They're doing it by letting you start your project with no money down, interest-free financing up to 18 months, limited time. So do it now. Call 877-GO-GUIDA. You can schedule your free, no-obligation in-home estimate. And go to goguida.com. That's goguida.com. Mike was talking about like an Eagles fan.
Mm-hmm.
He was mad about all of it.
Because he's a football guy.
We asked him one question.
Yeah.
He's ripping me on analytics. I didn't even say anything about it.
Well, you are the poster child for analytics in Philadelphia.
Well, and part of him believes, I don't know if that's the case.
It's unfair.
Yeah. Well, it's the whole process thing. Yes. Yeah. I guess what people view the play to Saquon as analytics.
I don't think so.
Right? Like, I didn't view that as some analytical thing.
No,
I think the pass in that situation is viewed more analytically by older school football people. Yes.
Because that's what it's saying, like Mike was saying there.
Well, he was attacking Kellen Moore on that.
Yes, that's what I mean. Yes.
That's how he makes his decision.
Yes. And he was mad that people said they should go for it on fourth down.
Right.
Right. I think the...
He didn't want them to go for it on fourth down.
No, he did not.
He's a big take the points guy.
He was confusing me in some of those.
No,
I was like, did you want him to go for it or not?
He did not want him to go for it on fourth down. And
in
either
the first quarter,
he did not. He wanted the 3 points. That's when I said, Green Bay did that to us, and they ended up six points.
He wanted the points on the board, yes.
You know, the analytics part of it is funny, because all analytics is probability, you know, based on how many times something happens.
Yeah.
When he says... You're only giving the defense 5 plays, and you want to give them 5 plays. That is, whether Mike likes it or not, that is him doing analytics.
Well, it's like what Howard says, there's a difference between analytics and numbers.
Yes. Yeah. The analytic people love talking in basketball, love talking about points per game or rebounds per game, which is just like more basic analytics. It's just stats. But he seems... incredibly pessimistic.
Yeah.
And he brought up Jalen on his own. He brought up the decision-making from Kellen Moore and Nick Sirianni on his own. It was basically one question about, do you think they can be a contender? And it was, defense sucks, Jalen's not good enough, the coaches are slaves to analytics, and that's why Kellen Moore got fired you know, in two different places. So, not great.
Looking forward to him next week.
Yeah, it didn't make me feel great.
Are you just getting that out of the way in case OG or Corey calls up and says, why'd you ask him about Jalen again?
Well, I didn't even think of that, but I did not ask him about Jalen.
Yes. Y'all giving my guy a complex now. Anytime Jalen comes up, everybody's like, why are you bringing up Jalen? Hey. He's going to get discussed. He's the quarterback of the team.
I can't
even
ask questions.
He's just an okay player.
See, that's what they don't like. But here's the thing with that, and I'll be honest with you about that. Even in the past, I've said he has the ability to play at a top five level, but remaining a top five quarterback is something you have to do over time.
Sure.
And to be quite honest, okay, Josh Allen has finished in the top three, I believe, in MVP voting the last 3 years. So that could classify him as a top five quarterback in this league. Even with the mistakes that he makes, people still view him as one of the top quarterbacks in the league. Mm-hmm. We know Patrick Mahomes is there. Other than that, Everybody else, even Lamar with two MVPs, has been in and out of the top five.
Especially because of the playoffs. Burrow, I understand the people who are frustrated about how Burrow is viewed.
How he gets the sort of grandfathered into the elite status.
Because for some reason...
And he's 0-2.
Yes. You just watch him, and there's something about Burrow where you just feel like you just kind of know
sure.
that he's good.
But here's what I would say, though. Here's what I would say to that. And I love Joe Burrow. Best quarterback since we had Boomer Esiason. Don't worry about that. But he had to transfer from Ohio State. He went to LSU and set. He surprised everybody his year. And he had a star-studded team around him.
Right.
And the years that he's been good in Cincinnati, A, he's been healthy, and he's had stars around him.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't necessarily lifted a team without stars on it and put them on his back and carried them anywhere.
No, there is the number of quarterbacks who do that.
That's
is minuscule.
I got it.
Yes.
One.
Yes.
I guess you could slide Lamar in there because he's never really had any star receivers or what have you.
Aaron Rodgers is not that guy anymore, but
right,
at
yeah,
one
he's
point.
A, yeah, Aaron Rodgers was more or less, he's already established. I don't even include
right,
him.
Right.
He's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Sure.
He's just not at that level right now.
Right.
Guy, we got five MVPs, four MVPs.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty damn
pretty good. So coming up next, Jason Kelce is on the WIP Morning Show every Thursday from 7:30 to 8:30. And Jason talked this morning pretty passionately about the Sixers' new proposed arena on Market East.
Mm.
We will play that next, so you, and discuss on the, this is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fred.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
WIP Afternoon Show, Ike, Spike, and Fritz. News yesterday was that Philadelphia Mayor Sherrell Parker and the Sixers came to an agreement on the Sixers getting the arena that they wanted at the Market East location where the Fashion District, formerly the Gallery, was. Now, this has to go to City Council and has to be approved by them for it to get done, but that was a big first step. So this morning, Jason Kelce was on the WIP Morning Show, as he is every Thursday from 7:30 to 8:30. And Joe DiCamera asked him for his thoughts on the Sixers moving from South Philly to Market East. And here's what Jason said.
Jason, your preference, Camden, Center City Philly, the South Philadelphia Sports Complex, where would you prefer it be?
I would prefer it stays in South Philly.
Me too.
Unquestionably. And I'll say this. When it does get built in Center City and all of these people are displaced, at the end of the day, people are probably going to love it. In 10 years, all this is going to be different. And we're probably going to be really happy that there's this beautiful complex that was developed down there and it's a thriving part of the city. But right now, I really hate it. And part of me is like, I have scars from this, from growing up in Cleveland and watching Art Modell try and strong arm the city and then move him to Baltimore. And I really have a strong disdain for the fact that this guy strong-armed the city by threatening to move him out of the city. And all of these people that have devoted all of their time, all of their efforts, all of their money, and like a lifetime of fandom towards this team. And now you're going to strong-arm people against what the city wants. I really have a hard time being okay with that. I'm not okay with it. I think it's wrong. But That's how I feel.
And I just, let me give you one more on that, because I've said this in the air. I'll say it again.
Yeah.
Part of what bothers me about what you just said there, not what you said, but the Sixers ownership thing, I would have respected their position more if they less said it's about what's good for the city and more said what it's good for them.
Yeah.
They would not be doing this if it did not put additional monies in their pocket.
That's why they're doing it. It has nothing to do with the city, and they're strong-arming the city. In the city, what do? Do you risk losing the Sixers? And, like, the only thing the fans can do is say, fine, move, we're not going to do it, and then we don't have a basketball team. And it just sucks. It just sucks that there's that much, you know, and this is part of, you know, the ownership group isn't Philadelphian. It's got a New Jersey Devils team, a Philadelphia team, and now a Washington team. And now they're forcing the city to do what this guy wants, and it sucks. But at the end of the day, like I said, at the end of the day, we're all going to be really happy with it. I do think that, other than the people that get displaced out of Chinatown and the people that aren't going to be able to live there anymore, the vast majority of fans are probably going to have a better interaction with a beautiful new stadium and outstanding new shops and retail and all in residential. It's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. You know, it's just another, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Jason, let me
but
say
part
this
of this is like growing up in Cleveland, like I went through this firsthand and I lost a football team for 3 years. So I get the mayor's position and why they're doing this, but it sucks. And I just don't think that amount of, you know, disrespect towards the citizens that allow you to have this team is appropriate.
So it's good and passionate from Jason Kelce. Mm-hmm. I thought he made some good points. One small differentiator there is that if they moved, they would be moving a mile away over the river. Not you know, he compared it to Cleveland and Baltimore. Not exactly the same situation. However, mm-hmm. the team strong-arming the city into saying yes, scaring them with that was definitely what happened. What is I agree with Joe. And I'll get to that in a second. The thing that strikes me is almost nobody wants the arena there, mm-hmm. quite honestly. If you gave them a choice between Camden and it being in Philadelphia, which is ultimately what they did, then people will say, okay, fine, put it there. But I don't think anybody wants it at Market East except for the Sixers and a very small contingent of online people who are obsessed with everybody taking public transportation everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, and by the amazing thing here is that the South Philly complex is very easy to get to using public transportation. You can't just take the regional rail. You have to take the regional rail and then take the Broad Street line. But it's an extra 8 minutes or something. You can get to the South Philly with the Broad Street line with SEPTA. It's not difficult. It's not challenging. So the thing I agree with Joe with is just I understand why the Sixers want their own arena. I understand why they don't want to pay rent. I understand why they don't want to split an arena with Comcast Spectacor. Makes perfect sense to me as business owners who want to make more money. Don't tell us it's for us. And how much better it's going to make the city. Because that's not why you're doing it. I don't begrudge them for trying to make money.
Right.
But stop lying and saying this is going to revitalize the area, because most times that doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. Don't say it's not going to displace anyone, because it definitely will. Mm-hmm. Don't say there's not going to be any terrible traffic, because there definitely will. Just stop. I can't use the phrase I want to use because I don't think you say it on the radio. Just stop making it sound like it is for us when it's actually for you. Because I think they would say, look, if they came out and said, we think the Sixers deserve their own arena that is based around, you know, basketball games and making us feel at home, and it's not financially feasible for us to pay rent anymore, and splitting an arena with somebody else seems far too complicated, people wouldn't be happy.
Right.
But at least the debate about it would be a lot cleaner than debate now, which I think is all mucked up with nonsense. So,
yeah, and me being a Jersey resident, it's not going to impact me as much, so I don't get as emotionally tied to it. I understand people's frustration with doing this down in the city and all the congestion it's going to cause, and, you know, I don't know if it's going to be worth it to the average Joe, the 9-to-5 worker that goes to work down there in that area, versus people who wants to show off a new shiny toy and have your friends come through. And Jason may be right. Once it's all said and done and is built, people may. It's a great new attraction. People will find a way, I guess. The thing for me, 5-6 years, I don't know how many games I'm going to anyway when I get closer to 60 years old. You know what I'm saying? Like
to a year.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm not as I guess, emotionally charged about it. I will say this. Looking at the pictures of it, it looks nice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, by the way.
It looks nice. It looks like.
I'm sure it'll be nice.
Since Joshua Harris has bought the team.
Yeah,
let's be fair to him. And listen, I rip Joshua Harris anytime I can, quite frankly, because he's a money guy.
Sure.
And that's fine. But the Sixers shared the Wells Fargo Center for many years, Wachovia, First Union, whatever it was called, Coors State, whatever it was called. And they've always been a tenant there. They didn't have their own practice facility. They were out there at
City Line Avenue.
Yes. Yeah.
And but just to go to the if you ever saw the locker room for the Sixers compared to the Flyers at the Wells Fargo Center,
I heard about that.
You would have a heart attack. You look at the Sixers locker room.
They treated like second rate citizens.
It was tiny.
Yeah.
I'm not a big person. I walked in there. I was like,
yeah. And I've been
15,
in there too.
7 footers
are
in there.
It's almost like a high school locker room, man. Yeah,
it was very small.
Right. Until they redid them a couple years ago, right?
Yeah, when they redid the whole place.
So I will say, at least Joshua Harris, since he's been here, he's built a practice facility. Now, this stuff is important to free agents. I've heard guys on their podcast, like Matt Barnes and all these guys that used to play for the Sixers back in those days. They talked about, man, you kidding me? We used to practice up on what is it, PCOM?
Yeah, PCOM.
Yeah, they talked about practicing there, not having
Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine.
Yeah, not having their own practice
facility.
Sounds like
an NBA kind of place to have a practice. Yeah,
right, like, and NBA players looking at that like, hold on, we're supposed to be pro players and this is what we're doing. So he is trying to increase the value of the team. And if you want star players to come in, things, these are things that sometimes are attractive to free agents when they come here.
Yeah, I agree with all of those things. I think that it is still striking to me how few people actually want it there. And that is the, just say it's for the team.
Right.
You just say,
because that's what, it, that's
by
what
the
it's
way,
for. Yes.
Say those things. Say this will help us get free agents. Mm-hmm. This will, don't start talking about how it's going to give me a job or,
right.
or, you know, make property value go up. Or those things are important, but also they are a coin toss about whether it will actually happen or not happen. I could tell you that it is far more likely. But in general, they paid, it wasn't a good decision, but they paid a ton of money to Doc Rivers. They paid Daryl Morey a ton of money. They've spent money.
Yeah.
That part of it I don't have a problem with at all. I just, the whole thing just feels yucky. And by the way, most times these arena things, stadium thing, they always feel yucky.
Right.
The Citizens Bank Park, they tried to put it over there. Remember that?
And
they had the same pushback. I think it was on the other side of Chinatown, just the Spring Garden area. But but the same sort of pushback didn't feel good.
I do remember that.
When Temple wanted a stadium, felt gross. All of it feels gross. But ultimately, the team means a lot to us to have it be here. The politicians know it means a lot to us. That's why people buy sports teams, because of that emotional value, which makes it worth more money. So it just sort of is what it is. I don't think it's a, I don't have any inside information on this. I don't know that it's a lock that city council approves it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, though the city council members are beholden to their own districts and have their own ideas, and maybe Sherelle Parker is playing good cop, bad cop, and maybe she approves it and they say no. And then I'm curious what would happen. I do think the last thing on this, I do think if they do not get to build the arena in Philadelphia, like there, they will build it in Camden.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. Yeah, that's not some empty threat.
No, they are getting an. They will build an arena.
Yes,
they will build an arena, whether we want them to or not. Yes. They will build an arena somewhere.
Well, to your point, and I think Mayor Parker knows this.
Yes,
and she doesn't want this on her watch that she let the Sixers leave.
Not in her first year of being the mayor. Yeah, and don't think they don't know that and all those things. So That's where it is. Jack, how do you feel about the arena going there?
Ultimately, it doesn't matter. I don't know if I'm going to go to many games. I just think it's lame. Like, I love the South Philly complex. I like it all. And I know they're going to get their own arena, and that's fine. I just, I like all three teams being there, all our teams being there.
Four teams.
Forgot about the Flyers.
That was. You didn't even do that on purpose. You didn't. You didn't.
It's their building.
The three teams I care about.
I thought you were trolling.
I thought we were doing Meatloaf, man. I mean, Meatloaf. What's his name?
No, it's not Meatloaf. It's Meatloaf.
That might be you two.
Hashtag our guy. Yeah. The face of the show.
Yes, exactly.
I'm not doing the Meatloaf.
No, it's not. No, okay. I think it can be kind of cool. Like, I hope Walker enjoys going to the Tiffin Market.
Walker's going to be going to a Sixers game.
And number two, whatever, when he gets down there.
You and Walker, just as long as you leave. 7:10 game, just leave at 4:00. You'll be there right on time.
Maybe we'll walk from here to there.
Yeah, well, we were talking about that yesterday. The walk from here is probably a 20-minute walk. It's about a mile.
If it's in the spring, I'd do it.
Yeah.
I ain't walking in the fall and winter to no damn Sixers game.
Hold on. A nice, crisp fall walk. Like, come on.
Yeah. That's your thing. That's not my thing. Yeah. That's not my thing.
We're going to be me, Walker, number two, whatever happens.
I don't think you should call the kid number two.
Yeah, what are we doing? Number two.
Number two usually indicates something else.
It implies number two.
Well, he's number two.
Come on, man.
We're going to be pushing like there in a wheelchair. It's going to be unbelievable. Well,
am I going to be in a wheelchair too?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But like, man, he's closer to 60. Bad? Yeah.
He's closer to 60, but I'm this guy. Wait.
You do have a hit.
Hold on, I just turned 50, man. Yeah. Yeah, well, it's still a decade away. 60. Let's relax.
The sad thing about my physical condition compared to Ike is Ike spent, 30 years of his life.
Yeah, my body feels like I'm already 60.
Running into stuff, yet somehow I'm the one with the replacement hip.
I know.
Well, how'd that happen?
True. Yeah.
All right. Well, there it is. Sixers. That was good stuff from Kelsey. Good to hear him.
Passionate.
Sounding like a, true Philadelphian there.
Kelsey, he knows what the people need to hear. Yeah.
Oh, last thing. Last thing.
Now, if he was mayor, would he have approved the
Of course
Sixers?
He would have.
Of course he would.
Would he have time in between filming commercials to approve anything? So, last thing is what's his name? Philly's owner. Why can't I remember his name?
Mr.
Middleton and Comcast Spectacor saying that they're going to develop this big thing in South Philly with all of these, shops and restaurants and blah, blah, blah. You all have been down there for 30 years. So, I mean, the Wells Fargo Center is 30 years old. Yeah. Citizens Bank Park is 20 years old. And it just, this is why I don't side with either side on this, because they're like, hey, we were just going to build this whole great thing down here in South Philly. We were just thinking about doing this now. Yeah. So what took you so long?
Right.
There's nothing there except for Xfinity Live. So unless you're 24, no disrespect to Xfinity Live, we've had events there, but unless you're 24 years old and want to ride a bull after a game, it does not offer a lot for different, if you have kids or you're older, whatever. I'm glad they're going to do that down there, but it is just sort of convenient the time that they decided they wanted to do it, which is why I do not begrudge any of these organizations for trying to make as much money as they can. That is their job. But it's also why I don't want to pay for any of it with any of my taxes. But do not tell me it's for me or it's for anything other than for you, because that's what it's for. Chuck in Mount Airy. You're on WIP. What's up, Chuck?
Spico, Spico, and Jacko. What is the deal?
What's up, Chuck?
What up, Chuck?
Hey, Spike, yeah, with that replacement, if you might be in a wheelchair, I get to push your wheelchair everywhere you go, buddy.
I would love to have you be my wheelchair pusher, Chuck.
Hey, listen, man, about the Sixers going down to Philadelphia or down to Center City, I love it. I love it, man. This is the greatest thing I've heard since sliced bread. You know what I mean? Listen, Chinatown's a sewer hole anyway. It needs a repair. You know what I mean? And people need to understand, it's a new generation coming in here, man. You know what I mean? Like, you're not from Philadelphia. If you're not from Philadelphia, so you wouldn't appreciate it. You know what I mean? I get to catch the subway, right?
Mm-hmm.
Walk
The How same, beautiful is that?
But isn't that the same? If you went to South Philly, you take the subway and you're a 5-minute walk away from the arena.
Yeah, it's not the same. Like, I get to go in the city, you know what I mean? And just walk upstairs and I'm there, you know what I mean? Listen, this is like Madison Square Garden, you know what I mean? We're a big city, man. It's time to do big things. You know what I'm saying? The people that's complaining about this, you know, one, they're not even from Philadelphia, and they ain't even a lot. Like, how would that get? They don't even want the Sixers organization ain't wanting down there at the Sixers games anyway. So what are he complaining about? It doesn't even matter. You know what I mean? And then, you know, Jason Kelce is the biggest pander I've ever seen in my life. You know what I mean? You guys talk about Bryce. You know, my boy Bryce, you want to talk about him pandering. This guy is the biggest pander I've seen in my life. He's not even from Philadelphia. He's a Cavaliers fan. Worry about what the Cavaliers doing, Jason Kelce. Keep doing your little stupid commercials. Because here's the thing. I'm from Philadelphia, right? And I get to appreciate that I get to catch the Orange Line down Center City and get up and watch my basketball team, I'm sorry. And if they would have moved to Camden, I would have denounced my fandom. I guarantee you, I would have no longer been a Sixers fan because that's not Philadelphia. So I'm glad that Mayor Parker had enough guts to keep this in Philadelphia because this is the Sixers, the Philadelphia 76ers. You know what I'm saying? If you're scared to catch the subway, just say that. Get a dog, get a gun, you know what I mean? Or bring your boyfriend, you know what I'm saying? Or come and call me, I'll come hold your hand. But here's the thing. Nothing ever happened on the subway. I've never heard anything that dangerous that's happened on the subway since I've been alive. You know what I mean? That's worth talking about. You know what I mean? So just get your ass on the train. Come on down to Center City.
You're just excited because Embiid won't be playing in the new arena. That's all this is.
Yeah, he ain't going to make it there. I'm so glad he don't want to.
Why'd you go down this road?
You know what I mean? He won't make it there. Thank God. He'll be in
you know what they're going to call it, Chuck? The building that Embiid built.
They will say it's the house that Embiid built.
The house that Embiid built.
They will.
Just think, because if it wasn't for Joel Embiid, Chuck, this arena would not exist.
That is true.
So you should thank him. You should write him a letter. Seal it with a kiss and thank him for your new arena.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It's true.
It is true.
It's true.
This is the building that AI built.
AI.
Moses Malone built. This is the building that Dr. J built. This is the building that Cheeks built. This is the building Billy Cunningham built. You know, the list goes on. Joel Embiid has nothing to do with that.
It has everything to do with it. They have the profile in the city now because of one Joel Embiid. So we will take this as a thank you, Chuck.
The only thing he's built is medical bills. That's it. That's the only thing he's ever built. Get out of here with that garbage.
Chuck. Hey,
but listen,
yeah.
Give us a dance, Chuck.
Yeah, give us a dance. What's your favorite dance?
I give you a dance. Listen, the dance I like, you know, I like the woman, man, you know, and I'm, you know, Yoshi, yo, you hear me, buddy? I'm just for you, buddy. Twerking.
Twerking.
I knew somebody was going to say it.
Yeah, Chuck, you twerk, right? You're a twerker.
Yeah. Yeah. He means he's just like watching people twerk.
Yeah, did you do that, Jack, or did I do that?
It could have been the old glitch with the phones again.
Okay, it wasn't me.
It's always good stuff.
It wasn't either. Yeah.
I hope they ask Harper after the game how he feels about
our new arena.
The Sixers' new arena. After hearing what Kelce said, I need Bryce to one-up him.
Okay. Honest question, Jack. Bryce Harper is at Citizens Bank Park, and you tell him, you give him car, and you say you have to drive to the location of the new arena. You do not have GPS. You can't use your cell phone. Do you think Bryce Harper could get from Citizens Bank Park to the location of the new arena?
No.
Okay.
But I'm also...
Hold on. Are you trying to say Bryce in 4 years has not been to Center City?
I don't think he could get there.
I don't think he could get there.
No.
Not even just riding through?
I don't know if I could get there.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing.
Sightseeing?
Could you get there?
Dude. Are you serious? First of all,
we worked down the street from it.
I used to shop at the gallery.
Yeah, we worked five blocks away.
Yeah, like I are you kidding me? I used to hang in that area. I'm not going to go into anything else. I'm just saying. Yeah, I know where the area is, man.
I'm not confident. I could probably get there from here.
You can't get the what's wrong with him? You can't get to Market Street.
Wait, hold up. Market Street is right there.
Yeah. Just follow it all the way over.
But where's 10th and Market?
Below 23rd. Just go with the
go
numbers.
Go around City Hall.
Yes. It's on the other. Just keep going side, down numbers.
Man. My goodness.
I'll get there one day.
He lasted in the city for 3 months.
Ten. Yeah. 10 months. Rounds up to a year.
Unbelievable. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's is designing the ultimate championship ring for our listeners. Vote on the design and find out how to win at 94WIP.com/Mark's. Are the Eagles closer to 6th best team in the NFL or the 18th best team? 59% say the 18th best team.
Yeah, back to the topic at hand.
Coming up, Jack. Top 5 of 5 is next, which, as you know, is everyone's favorite portion of the WIP Afternoon Show. What do we have? Give us a tease.
A little tease?
Yeah.
It's something that we can't let happen.
Something that we can't let happen.
Yes, there's a lot of things right now that we cannot let happen.
And this is one of them.
Multiple. Five things that we can't let happen.
Yeah, that's why it's top 5. Okay, that is next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.